Glory to the name of the Lord. Amen. His mercies endure. How long?
Forever.
Not some of the time. Not most of the time. All the time. We're kicking off a new series today entitled The Game of Your Life. And we're going to be talking about something I hate. I hate temptation. You know why I hate temptation? Because it just doesn't leave me alone. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much you grow, there it is, nagging at you. And what I really hate about temptation is, it's not like nothing's at stake. You know, because the scripture talks about, in Proverbs, it talks about the person who has no self-control is like a city without walls, a city with broken down walls, which means when you don't have any self-control, your life is vulnerable to be destroyed from outside forces. And, you know, we can't pretend like things we do don't matter, because they do matter. Even the things that maybe on the outside looks like it doesn't hurt nobody, but it really does. There's always collateral damage. And the thing that really scares me is, you know, it'd be different if it was just me. I mean, there would still be collateral damage if it was just me. But, you know, I have a family. I have people who look up to me, you know, and I can't pretend like what I do doesn't have an impact. And it just, you know, I just hate it. I mean, my first journal entry, when I rededicated my life to the Lord as a 17-year-old college freshman in my dorm room, the first journal entry in my journal was about, God, fix me. God, take this away from me, because my mind is just overcome. And the funny thing with temptation is, and it could be anything, I mean, it could be, you know, somebody just pushes that one button and you are tempted to just lay into them. You're just tempted to just lay into them. Or, you know, do something nasty to them or say something about them. Or, you know, you're driving down the street and those golden arches are calling your name. I'm serious, you know, because I mean, our health is important, and, you know, and we know that there's things, certain things we shouldn't eat a lot of because people are depending on us. But, you know, in the middle of the night and there's nothing in the refrigerator and, you know, Wendy's is right down the street. And that's not to make light of that temptation. That's a real temptation. That's one of the things when we moved into this area and I saw all the chain food restaurants, I was like, no, no. I was sheltered where we were in Potomac. I, you know, didn't have so much access. But I know you know what I mean. I know you've been there. We all have our battles. And the crazy thing about temptation is, it's like you fight it, you try to avoid it, you try to ignore it, you try to force the thoughts out of your mind. And then over time, the battle just wears on you. And then you get to a point where you're tired of the battle. You just give in and do it. And then after you do it, you feel horrible. You're like, why did I do that? Why did I do that? And then you say, all right, next time I'm going to try even harder. Next time I'm going to grit my teeth. I'm going to do better. And then what happens? Here it comes. And you try to avoid it. And you try to push it out of your mind. You say, nope, the Bible says dot, dot, dot. I am not going to do that. And then the battle wears on you. And it wears on you. And then you just give in. And there you go. And you say, why did I do that? Again. And you think, I must be the weakest. Am I the one who's ever thought this? I must be the weakest person in the world. If people knew how weak I was. You ever thought that before? You don't have to say anything, but temptation. But you know, the good news is that we are not the first people in history to ever have to struggle with temptation. Thank God. We are not the first people to have ever had to deal with temptation. Whether it's temptation to snap at somebody, temptation to do something you shouldn't do, eat something you shouldn't eat, say something you shouldn't say, click on a link you shouldn't click on, open a book you shouldn't open, whatever the temptation is. Man, I wish it would just leave me alone. Man, I wish it would just leave me alone. But thank God, we are not the first people to struggle with it. And we're going to look at a particular text that addresses the solution to the problem. Because the problem is, man, wouldn't life just be easier if you didn't have to deal with temptation? Wouldn't it just be easier? Wouldn't you just be able to just, you could just be who you wanted to be and do what you wanted to do? But man, it's like you read that scripture in Romans 7, I do what I don't want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I keep on doing. You say, amen, but I don't want to stay there. I don't want to stay there because I know that God has called me to righteousness, that God has called me to Christ-likeness. And while I may never be perfect, it doesn't mean I can't be better. Let me say that again. Just because you can never be perfect doesn't mean you can't be better. And just because you are vulnerable to certain things doesn't mean you can't be free. Just because you're vulnerable to certain things, you know, when the scripture talks about the sin that so easily besets us, there's some sins that easily beset us, and we all have our own things. You don't have to tell nobody. But I know you do, because I have them too. But being vulnerable doesn't mean you have to be in bondage. Let's talk about how to get free today. I hope you're ready. Let's take a look at the scripture. You've seen this before, probably. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. What does it say? All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for... Say that again. One more time. Training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for some good work. Most good work. Every good work. Every good work. No matter what the area of life it is, you can be equipped to do good. Now, when we think about temptation, I want us to focus on this word training in righteousness. Because let me share a little bit about how temptation works. Temptation is your old person, the old you. The scripture talks about you have an old you and a new you. The old you was the you before you met Christ. The new you is the new person that was birthed when Christ, when the Holy Spirit came into you. You're a new person. You're a new creation. Amen? So you've got this dual identity. There's an old you that's still in there. But there's this new you. Temptation is the old you giving you sinful solutions to common problems. Temptation is the old you giving you sinful solutions to common problems. No temptation has overcome you except which is common to humankind. Let me give you an example. When you get bored before you met Christ, there's some things you used to do. When you were lonely before you met Christ, there's some things you used to do. When you got stressed out, there were some things you used to do. When you got angry, when somebody hurt your feelings, there were some things you used to do. When you were hungry, when you were afraid, when you were tired, there were things you used to do. And your brain remembers those responses. So when you are bored, when you're tired, when you're lonely, when you're angry, when you're afraid, when you're hungry, when you're stressed, the old you comes up to you and says, I know how to fix that. Remember, I got the solution. All you got to do is this. You'll feel better. All you got to do is curse them out. You'll feel better. All you got to do is click right here. You'll feel better. All you got to do is go right down the street. You know where to go. The old you. It's like driving a car. When you get in your car, remember the first time you learned how to drive? You had to figure out where everything was, right? You got in, and it was like, okay, it's poor folks who had to learn how to drive stick shift the first time. Stick shift is here. The clutch is here. Okay. The steering wheel's here. The brake is here. The accelerator is here. Okay. And then you had to kind of coordinate all that together, and you had to shift at the right time. Right? And it was kind of like a struggle at first, and you're kind of like trying to do 10 things at the same time. But over time, now when you get in there, it's kind of like second nature. You just, you know, and people who don't know how to drive clutch look at you and go, wow, how are they able to do that? And you're like, what are you talking about? You're like doing 10 things at the same time, talking about what you did yesterday and shifting gears and everything. And people are impressed because once you teach, your brain is very powerful. Once you teach your brain how to do something, it's like, I got it. Like riding a bike. You taught me how to do it. I got it. And sin works the same way. So when you get into situations where you would respond in a sinful way, the old you goes up to you and says, I know how to take care. I know how to do this. Move out the way. I got you. Yeah. Now, training in righteousness. How does this relate to training in righteousness? Training in righteousness is training the new you to give you righteous solutions to those common problems. So it's not about how hard you can fight. It's not about winning the battle of temptation has nothing to do with your willpower. It has everything to do with your training. Training the new you to take over when you're confronted with the same situations. Jesus did this. You know when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was struggling, man? He was like, God, if there's any other way to get this thing done, please, let's do it. He was sweating blood. Have you ever sweat blood? None of us in here sweat blood. I mean, struggling. And he wanted to quit. He was tempted to quit. But he ended up saying, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. How was he able to do that? Because scripture says Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are. But you see, Jesus had been saying things for a long time before he got to that point. He would say things like, I have the power to lay my life down and take it up again. I will destroy this temple in 3 days and raise it up again. So long before he ever got to his temptation, he had trained himself in how he would respond when he got there. When you run track, there's a lot of ways to prepare to run a race. You go to the gym and you work out. You might go to the pool and swim and develop your cardiovascular muscles. You might go to the beach and develop your leg muscles, right? You might study film and your coach can teach you the principles of good technique in running. But until you go to the track and practice, you're not ready to run. So what we do is we think if we just develop enough willpower in the weight room, we can run. When what we really need to learn how to do is run. So fighting temptation is not about how strong you are, how able you are to say no. It's about training the new you to say yes. Some of you don't believe me. Let me prove it to you. In the same book, 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is the only scripture I'm going to have you turn to. If you have your Bibles, turn it to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Who has it? Greg, do you have it? Read it for me.
Chapter 2.
Uh-huh.
Flee the devil desires of you.
Hold up. Say it loud.
Flee the evil desires of you.
Flee the evil desires of you. Okay? And that's where we stop. We say, I'm supposed to flee evil desires of youth. I'm supposed to flee youthful lust. I'm supposed to flee temptation. So we take that and we say, I'm supposed to avoid it. I'm supposed to fight it. I'm supposed to get it out of my mind. But what does it say right after that? What did it say? And pursue righteousness. Winning the battle of temptation is not about what you run from. It's about what you run toward. It's about what you run toward. Because none of us have the willpower to say no all the time. We don't have the willpower. We're training in resistance rather than training in righteousness. We train in resistance rather than train in righteousness. We think if I just practice saying no, then I'll be able to beat it. And hey, maybe that worked for you in some areas of your life, but you know, other areas of your life, that you have no chance. Training in righteousness. So what's the point? The point of this is to say that winning the battle of temptation has nothing to do with your willpower. You have enough willpower already. Otherwise, you wouldn't be convicted after you did it. Right? You feel sorry after you do it. That means you don't want to. That's all you need. That's all you need. So in this series, I'm going to be talking about how to train the new you in righteousness. I'm going to be talking about how to train the new you in righteousness so that you don't have to fight all the time, so that you don't have to grit your teeth and say, well, I'm not going to do it anymore. Never again. Because it's just a losing battle. Eventually, you just the battle gets too much. Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to come back. This is the easiest application you'll ever hear all year, probably. Here's how you apply what we talked about today. Come back and stay for the entire series so that we can talk about how to train the new you in righteousness so that you can win the battle of temptation. Because it is possible. It is possible. It might feel like It'll never change, but you can get better. Let me say that. You may never be perfect, but you can always be better. You can always be better. And that's just the lie of the enemy to say, oh, you'll never change. Oh, that's just how you are. Oh, that's your parents were that way. Your grandparents were that way. So that's why you're that way. And you'll never change. No. The devil is a liar. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. And God wouldn't tell me to walk in righteousness if it wasn't possible. Yeah. And just because I'll never be perfect doesn't mean I can't be better. And just because I'm vulnerable in certain areas doesn't mean I can't be free. I want to give you hope this morning. I want to give you encouragement this morning that there is a way out. You know that scripture that says, with every temptation, God provides a way out? You remember that, right? I used to look at that saying, where is it? Where is it? Right? You know where it is? Walking in righteousness is your way out. Walking in righteousness is your way out. Training the new you to give you righteous solutions to those common problems. Because you know what? Boredom is never going away. Stress is never going away. Tiredness is never going away. Anger is never going away. Fear is never going away. Hunger, never going away. People pushing your buttons, never going away. It's just about how you respond to those things. And I look, even if I only get a little better over the next couple months, I'll take that. I'll take that. And then get a little better over the next couple months. I'll take that. And just a little better every, just slowly, slow and steady. And then you slip, you say, oh, God, thank you for your forgiveness. And you get right up and you keep moving forward. But I'm going to give you some tools over these next couple weeks so that you can win the battle of temptation. Because change is absolutely possible. Change is absolutely possible. Change is absolutely possible. Whatever it is. And it can apply to any area of your life. Because when you train in righteousness, see, because here's the thing. We study the word. We read the word. And it equips us with wisdom in discerning God's will. But until we train in the word, we'll struggle in doing the word. Right? That's where, because we teach the word, we get reproved and corrected by the word, but then we don't learn how to train in the word so that we can do the word. Because I can teach you how to run all day long. I can stand here and say, these are the principles of how you run. This is the form that you should have. But until you go to the track and actually practice it and do it, you're not going to grow. Training in righteousness. Jesus did it. Training in righteousness. We're going to talk about that. I want you to come back. I want you to take notes. I want you to get the CD. I want you to go online and listen to it during the week. Okay? I'm so excited because there is hope. There is hope. I want to encourage, there is hope. And some of you still don't believe me. Say, you don't know what I struggle with. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And there is hope. And we're going to talk about that this week, if that's all right. I just want you to just imagine your life. If those areas that you struggle in, whether it's in relationships with people, in your marriage, on your job, by yourself, wherever it is, imagine that temptation not having power over you. Imagine what your life would be like if that didn't have any power over you. Now, I didn't say temptation would never be there, because that's not true. All right? Temptation will always knock at the door, but I don't always have to answer it. And I don't always have to fight and resist and kick and scream and try to wrestle it in my own strength, because that doesn't work. What if there was another way? We're going to talk about that. But you got to come back. You got to come back. I'm telling you, you got to come back. So, you've got some next steps on your card. Okay? Maybe your next step is you better be here next Sunday. You better be here for the remainder of this series. All right? If you're going on vacation, I'm going to listen to this online. I'm not missing this. Okay? Any area. Even if it's something like, you know what? I wish I would read more. I wish I would serve more. I wish I would study more. There may be other areas of your life where you want to improve. Same principle applies. It's all training in righteousness. There's a way forward. Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you. You weren't lying when you said that the word, the scriptures, are profitable for training in righteousness. You weren't lying. It's true. And even though we struggle with temptation, we all have our own battles. Lord, but we know that we can be better. Not in our own strength, not fighting tooth and nail, but by applying what you've laid out. Training in righteousness. Lord, I'm praying for the person who feels like they're just covered with shame and guilt and condemnation because they don't see how anybody could love them if they knew what they did. Lord, but your scripture says, while we were sinners, you died for us. There's nothing that we could ever do to earn your love because you already gave it to us. I pray for encouragement. I pray for hope for every person who thinks change is not possible. I pray that you would just give them the faith to come back and give it a try. And just give it a try. Just one more try. Not through willpower, but through training in righteousness. I thank you for hope. I thank you for change. I thank you for progress. Because we're going to be better when this is over. We're going to take baby steps. Baby steps. Baby steps. I'll take baby steps any day of the week because my family is depending on it. My ministry is depending on it. My calling is depending on it. The people who depend on me are depending on it. There are consequences to this. And so I'm going to give this another try. If that's you this morning, if you're ready to give it another try, I just want you to tell the Lord. You don't have to come to the front. You can just stay right where you are. But I just want you to tell the Lord, I'm coming back and I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to stay here for the entire series and I'm going to give this a try. I'm not expecting everything to go away. I'm just expecting progress. Progress.